Dealing with Debt, Commentary for the February 4th, 2023 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. However, there need be no poor people among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you, if only you fully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all these commands I am giving you today. Deuteronomy 15, verses 4 and 5. Several decades ago, when I was a young soldier stationed at the Fort Bliss Army Base outside El Paso, Texas, I would enjoy spending weekends across the border in Juarez, Mexico. For someone who had hardly ever been outside his home state of Washington, this was an eye-opening experience. Things have changed some since then, but in the 1960s and 70s, when I walked across the Free Bridge into downtown Juarez, I would often be surrounded by dozens of street children begging for handouts. There were even children in the Rio Grande, beneath the bridge, holding poles with paper cones fashioned on the ends, challenging the turistas to toss coins into the cones. Several would do so. But sometimes the coins would miss and fall into the muddy river where the children would dive to retrieve them. The water was so full of silt, I never understood how they were able to find them, but nonetheless they did. While these children were desperate to earn something to feed and clothe themselves, they also had a pecking order. For instance, those with the cones looked down on those simply begging, not only because they were competing for the same coins, but also because they had done nothing to earn the money, such as making the paper cones. Recognizing the need for them to retain their self-respect in the eyes of the other beggars, I would take rolls of pennies with me, and then I would challenge the street children to a game of tossing pennies. I would stake them the first penny, and then subsequently manage to lose every round until the pennies were all gone. They doubtless laughed about the stupid gringo who could not even win at tossing coins. But my loss enabled some to eat that day with a sense that they earned it. Some might question why I used only pennies instead of larger coins. It was a safety factor for all involved. Several other tourists had been attacked and robbed when they were careless enough to show that they had something valuable. But no one really cared about someone who only had pennies they were tossing. And the children were less likely to be robbed of their pennies also. One day when I was tossing pennies, a young prostitute came up to me and told me she was from New York and ended up in Juarez. She only wanted to tell me that she had been watching me and the children and how much she appreciated that someone was taking an interest in them. Then she left and I never saw her again. I prayed that someone was able to help her like I was helping the children. The world would be a better place if, instead of looking down on one another, we could find ways to lift one another up. Our lesson quarterly this week deals with the opposite perspective, those who grind down the poor with debt and transfer all they can from the pockets of the needy into their own overflowing treasuries. Simple things like food, clothing, and shelter should be available to all as a fundamental right. But people starve on our streets, shiver sleeping on cold cement sidewalks in challenging weather conditions, and have difficulty finding shelter and personal privacy to live out what otherwise would be the normal processes of life. We have too often resigned ourselves to accept these insults to human dignity, choosing to believe it is because of the failings of these individuals that they do not thrive in an otherwise prosperous society. Those who do not walk in the shoes of the poor do not realize how difficult it is to thrive on the street or in neighborhoods where the only employment is to work dealing drugs or some other criminal activity directed by the neighborhood crime boss. It is a devil's choice that no one wishes to make. Those who stand on moral principle against giving in to the pressure often pay a high price for their morality, a morality that few give them credit for. If they lose their home because they will not engage in crime, they just become another homeless person, too lazy to deserve better, according to some. This should not be the attitude of a follower of Christ, but still is all too commonly expressed by those who should know better. It is too easy to dismiss this abuse of humanity based on our estimation of their worthiness, a worth that was established on the cross 2 millennia ago. Christ traversed the entire universe to demonstrate the value of each human being on a hill outside Jerusalem. On the other hand, we so devalue the same individuals Christ died for that we do not see any value to even cross the street to speak with them if we feel they can do nothing for us. Our attitude becomes even more egregious when we consider how the non-Christian world relates to them. Those who are homeless and helpless are sometimes set upon by those who are not, and sleep openly on our sidewalks and in our parks at risk of their lives. It is a mystery why those who have so much feel entitled to abuse the poor in this way. But their abuse is only part of the picture. If the poor try to better themselves through education, they are saddled with debt that may take decades to pay off and can never be discharged through bankruptcy. And while they are attending college, they are often beset by the same banks who provide those non-dischargeable student loans with offers of unsecured credit cards, charging a gnat's hair under 30% interest. The trap thus set, too many see the easy part of easy credit and fail to understand the chains that 30% will forge around their future hopes and dreams. The Bible calls death an enemy, but debt can be death while still living when we realize how much we have given away to have the latest glittering link in the chain of debt so many are enslaved by. We should not encourage such usury, but we do. How often does someone go deeply in debt for a new car, and we praise them for the purchase? This not only encourages them to continue to make unwise choices, but by example encourages others who may even be less able to carry the debt burden to do the same. This is why we do such inane things as owning trucks that never haul anything. We are told incessantly in the media how nice it would be to go into debt for several years to have such handiness at the ready. Of course, the ads never mention that one can install a trailer hitch on their family car, and in most instances, simply rent a U-Haul trailer for those rare occasions when something does need hauling, without incurring years of debt. In my lifetime, I've seen the maximum auto loan term go from 2 years to 7, 8, or even more years because of the price increases for new vehicles. That is a pretty hefty price, even at low interest rates, to be able to haul a few boards once or twice a year. I know math is hard, but if I need to pay $80 for a delivery fee to have landscape materials delivered each year, that is still a bargain compared to 5 years of $500 per month payments to own a truck to haul it myself. Lest we get the idea that all debt is wrong, I wish to point out that debt based on an appreciating asset is often a route to financial security and a means to eventually overcome the debt burden. In most instances, a home mortgage will build equity, both as the payments are made and as the real estate appreciates year by year. The equity that builds can leverage additional opportunities to broaden the real estate portfolio. In many countries, this is how wealth is built, typically over several generations. But one also needs the ability to negotiate a minefield of credit offers for home equity loans, ever-increasing property taxes, and the instability of today's job market to succeed. It can be helpful to seek out those you know who have done it for ideas on how to do the same. But weigh carefully what is shared. The apparently successful person may be just as likely to be buried in debt as a poorer person. They may look like they're enjoying a pleasant swim, but may instead be doing all they can just to tread water. The successful person is not necessarily the one with the latest model car, the largest home, or the most impressive title. They may be in hawk up to their ears to people you know nothing of. All this being said, if you've already fallen into debt and cannot see your way forward, you need a plan to do so. I had that experience after I graduated college and my wife was diagnosed with a chronic and progressive debilitating disease. She could no longer work, and I needed to leave the ministry to be able to provide her the care she needed. I had student loans I could not pay back. Some of them were deferred, which helped immensely. But those owed directly to the college, they were unwilling to defer and demanded payment immediately. I've never forgotten the name of the person who was so hard-hearted, but there is no purpose to be gained by sharing it. We struggled until I learned some basic financial principles and began to apply them. I found those principles in a book, The Richest Man in Babylon, by George S. Klassen. For those struggling with debt, this book can lead you out. It is a better guide for financial security than our quarterly this quarter that seems to only want to increase the money flowing into church coffers. Those who wrote it failed to understand that by teaching financial principles that will make each of us more financially stable, there will be a more secure financial base for the church as well. Repeating the mantra that if you give sacrificially to the church, God will make you wealthy, like Malachi promised, is not one of those sound financial principles for escaping poverty. God provides for us because he loves us, not because he is a vending machine where you put money in to get more money out. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the footnotes supporting the thoughts in this commentary, as well as the written version of this commentary, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.